Wow, wow, wow. Thank the Lord. Thank you for coming, having your hearts ready to worship today. I really feel that just anticipation in the room. I feel God's presence brooding over you, but more than that, I feel your hunger, and God feels your hunger. It says, blessed are those that hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I just bless Caleb and Rachel. I just was so moved during the worship, this second service, and I'm so grateful for you guys. Caleb just said that we have history here, and we have long history here. We're kind of old, but we're still good, right? We're moved because we're being renewed by Him day and night. And so I was saved in this church. Miles and I were saved in this church. We were called of God in this church. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in this church. Oh, actually, I was baptized at the College of Marin. But anyways, but I invited James Trumbo to come preach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, I want that gift. People are speaking in tongues and I want what they have. And here he came and he brought that gift and God baptized me on the college campus. So there you go for that. Anyways, we got married in this church. We got babies were given to us, Jonathan and Stephen. And, you know, God sent us to the nations. Miles had the privilege of traveling with Pastor Roger to India, Africa, and Russia. This church planted an amazing church in Russia, and you're going to see the pastor next week. And I was just moved to remember that it was when we went and did marriage seminars in Russia that God convicted our heart that we'd been neglecting our Jewish identity. Miles' Jewish identity. I'm not. And we got so convicted that the Lord said, you're neglecting a double blessing. And I have a double blessing that I want to release through you. So we began to repent and we began to operate and we began to keep the feasts in our home. People got saved. People brought people to our home. People got healed. People got touched. The house of peace was birth in our home and then brought here. And then through the One New Man conference, God sent us out throughout this region and to other nations. So I wanted to give you a little background because, you know, it's good to know where you come from. It's good to know where you're going. And God is a generational God. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't cut himself off. He's a generational God. And what happened up here today was beautiful. These were miracle babies. These were promised babies. These were God-ordained babies. These have a covenant on them now. They have the covenant of God upon them because you gave them to God, just as Samuel was given. And you watch over that word. You know, when your kids might be tottering, you stand tall in God's prophetic word over them. You know, Jonathan was far away from God, and day and night I would pray. Right? And God is faithful. He is faithful to His word, and He's faithful to His call. And I am just so blessed to be here in this new year with this man of mine. And he is a warrior. His name not only is Mordecai, but it's Miles, which means soldier. Woo! God, thank you for helping us to keep on keeping on, God. You're a good, good Father. Wow. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your grace upon our lives. We thank you for this new day, and you're bringing new wine, new birth, and you're bringing us into your new wineskin. Help us to let go of things that we need to let go of. Help us to embrace that which you've called us to embrace. We just thank you for this season. Help our ears to hear the word that you would have for us to move forward in birthing new things in this season. Be Hashem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, you need it?
Hallelujah. So we're going to be talking. I'm going to be decreeing and prophesying over you the season that we're in on the Hebraic calendar. And it's tied to the turning of the year, which just happened in the Hebrew calendar. So in order to celebrate that or open that, I'm going to ask Johnny to come and blow the shofar. Why don't you stand for this in honor of the Lord? Let's blow the shofar and recognize this is one of the key elements of the new year. And it goes back to the story of Isaac, which I'll tell you a little bit about later. But this is a welcoming of the Lord. When you're married as long as us, is that you read each other's minds sometimes. I don't recommend it as a marriage technique. Do not try to be a mind reader. You will get in trouble. It's use your words. I think, I feel, I want, I need. Use your words because the other one will not really know. However, sometimes God drops it down. Like just now, I was going to get up here and tell you our history with this house. And we didn't talk about that. Catherine just laid it out for you. But, you know, we were. This is our home base. This is where we started our walk with the Lord. And so many of you may not know us, but we're part of you. Our blood, sweat, and tears is in the walls of this building. And our celebration and joy and all that. So I want to talk to you about the turning of the year. This new year is 5779. Turn to somebody and say, I thought it was 2018. In the Hebrew calendar, we're in the 5779th year on the Hebrew calendar. It's how we tell time, and it's kind of how God tells time. There's some dispute about some technicalities, but the fact is that we're in this season coming into this 9 year. 9 is a significant number. Every number, every letter, every pictograph in ancient Hebrew has a meaning and a purpose and is connected to something that God wants to speak to us. Why? Because the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How much more can we expect that God speaking in His original language, which is Hebrew, speaking in His original language is wanting to impart something to us? This is the language that Yeshua, that Jesus spoke. Number 9 has to do with several kinds of things. The Hebrew letter tet. Say tet. And it looks like that. Every Hebrew letter is a picture. This is the 9th letter of the alphabet, alephbet. That's where we get our alphabet, is alephbet. That's the Hebrew. This is the 9th letter. And every picture tells a story. That Rod Stewart didn't come up with that. Was actually, some of you, way too young. I've got to upgrade my references for the millennials. My kids just stare at me. Okay. So tet means the number 9. And number 9 is the picture tet. And it's a picture of some very important things that God is wanting to impart to us in this upcoming year, in the year we've just begun. Now, it has to do with several important things that I'm going to talk to you about. One is about the submission to the Lordship of God. It's a new level of intimacy that He's calling us to. If you've been drifting, or if you feel like there's more and you don't know what it is, but you know you need more, this is your year. Yeah. God wants to draw you to Himself. It's a time when the picture is also of a snake or spiritual warfare. Do not be surprised if you meet resistance in the things that you are trying to do to promote the gospel around the world. Do not be surprised if it gets funky or complicated, if it gets complicated in your own life or in the bigger picture of your life. It also is a picture of a womb. This is a time of new birth. There are things that God wants to bring to birth through you and in you, which is amazing. That, I mean, last year we counseled you through the fire. This year we're here for the dedication of the babies because it's the year of the womb. So we're tracking somewhere with the Lord regarding what God wants to connect us, how He wants to connect us. And it's also a picture of a new wineskin. And I'll explain that in a moment. But it has to do with situations changing, job placement changing, housing changing, geographic location changing, maybe even ministries in the church changing to where we are letting go of some things that are not bearing fruit and picking up new things that are bearing fruit and not having the not being stuck in doing things the way we've been doing them, but looking for what God is speaking right now. So new wineskins, personally, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, and physically. Maybe it's about physical healing for you. A new wineskin. So these are the things that are in this 1 year, this 157.79 that turned about a month ago. And the first picture of this letter Tet is about something very good. The picture looks like this. This is the picture graph of that letter that I just showed you. If you can see, there's a higher place on the left. Sometimes when this is written, there's actually three crowns on top of that. Huh, three. Three crowns on top of that. And then there's this bending down before or submitting to this crown. Well, this is a picture of what God is wanting to do in the ninth year of this decade. What he's trying to do is bring us into a proper worshipful relationship with Jesus, with Yeshua, with the King of Kings in a new way. Not just the way we've been doing it, but there's something new. There's some kind of new intimacy and new submission that he wants to bring for us in this time. It's a picture of a king and a knight kneeling before him. See the king on the side there, and then below is that lower one. It reminded me of when I was about 8 years old and I saw the original movie about Robin Hood. It was made in 1935. I wasn't 8 years old in 1935, but the movie was made then. And there's a scene where King Richard the Lionhearted returns from Jerusalem. Huh. King Richard is coming from Jerusalem. And he comes to Sherwood Forest where the Robin Hood guys are. And they don't recognize him because he's wearing a cloak. He's wearing a hood. He looks like a monk. So they think he's just some random Friar Tuck type, a monk of some kind. We don't know who he is. And they don't know who he is. They don't recognize him at first. But then he takes the cloak back and reveals himself to them as the king. And all of the men kneel before the king. And you know, if you look back over your life before Yeshua, before Jesus, you can see places where God was using the creation, the arts, music, film, all kinds of ways he was speaking to you about who he is. That was one of those moments. I had no idea. I just knew that something opened up inside of me that I said, this is awesome. And tears came to my eyes. 8 years old, I had no idea that I was seeing Jesus until he called me by name. Literally here, he called me by name. Downstairs in the old sanctuary. There's a young man here named Miles. It was a word of knowledge through a prophet. Where are you? Don't be scared. Too late. Come up here. And he leaned over the old wooden pulpit. Catherine's praying in tongues on her face. He leans over the old wooden pulpit and said, that word I spoke about healing to Bill, that's for you as well. Because you, God knows where you've been. This is for some of you. God knows where you've been. But he's calling you to himself. And he's giving you a ministry of healing. And you're going to touch many lives. Place celebrating. I'm looking for the microphone and the magic trick. Like, how did they do this? Not knowing that it was a gift of the Holy Spirit. When you recognize that God has been wooing you, calling you, entreating you gently, like with that movie for me. That movie, to a little Jewish kid, I didn't understand what I was seeing. But I'll tell you what I see now. Is that the first time the king came, he came cloaked as the Lamb of God. And so my people didn't see him by and large. Of course, the first church was all Jewish. And through the Jewish people, the word came to you, hallelujah, because that's God's plan. But we didn't recognize him nationally. But now, as he's getting ready to return, that cloak has come off. And we're seeing him. And I'm telling you, we're coming to a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the significance of Israel in this is this restored connection and the fact that as Israel goes, so goes the nations. And I can walk you through all kinds of concurrent blessings in the modern era where God moved in Israel and then he did something in the church. And I could walk you through that, but I won't today. I have to come back. But God is restoring Israel. And if we watch Israel, we can see what he's doing in the earth. The only way to understand the headlines, you cannot understand the headlines through Twitter. You cannot understand it. Certainly not the news. I mean, CNN. You cannot Fox your way through it. You have got to look at it through the Word of God. It's the only way to understand what you're seeing around us. Because some days it looks so completely chaotic and insane. How is this possible? How could this? I thought we were in the clear for a minute. Oh, no. What? But it's all part of the preparation for the return of the Lord. We're birthing something. So, submission to the Lord. The second view of this letter, Tet, is something about the dark side or the evil side. Because it also, in the pictographs, in the ancient language, it's also a picture of a snake. And we need to know that the enemy is after us. If you're married, look at your spouse and say, "You are not my enemy." Roommates, feel free. Fathers and daughters, children. Hey, works for everybody. You are not each other's enemy. But you do have an enemy. Nothing to be afraid of. You know, in counseling, I'm always making the perimeter larger for people. You put the blood perimeter around them, the cross around them, and the name around them, and say, you know what? When the enemy comes to you with that attack, with that depression, with that anxiety, you tell them, look at the blood, look at the cross, look at the name above all names, and you deal with Jesus, because I don't have to deal with you. And then you can worship your way out of your anxiety and depression, largely. Now, 5779 is a 9 year. 9 is a picture of the fullness of God in the pictures of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, we see the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, we see the 9 fruit of the Spirit. So that means that this year, God is going to increase the level of your faith to incorporate and to release more faith regarding the gifts and fruit of the Spirit. And if you have to choose one, choose the fruit. Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, God's interested in our character. You know, we're going to be like Jesus. And so we got to help ourselves along the way by submitting to Him. So 1 Corinthians 12 says it this way: there are various kinds of gifts, but the same ruach. Say ruach. I didn't hear that huh. Okay, all right. You heard me say this before, but you should feel spit on the back of your neck from the person behind you. Hebrew is a language of coughing and spitting. Hey, a lot like Italians, only noisier and wetter. Okay. There are various kinds of working with the same God who works all things in all people. But to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach for the benefit of all. Then it's going to go through and list the gifts of the Spirit. Right? A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. By the way, thank you for that holy pause and an opportunity to pray in another language and to bless the Lord in an unknown tongue. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, God wants that for you. It's a precious time. We build ourselves up by praying in another tongue. It's a precious gift. Catherine was baptized in the quad of the... we were water baptized here, but in the quad of College of Marin, she starts yelling at the top of her lungs this Arabic tongue. And I'm like, what is that? What? And so James Trumbo, the same minister from this church, he took me into his cabin up on Iolanthus down by Black Point, and he put me in his cabin there. He said, he prayed for me. And I went, meh. And he said, keep going. I went, meh, meh. Keep going. Come on, just let it flow. Meh, 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 meh. That's all I had. I would drive around with my car listening to Christian music and going, meh, meh, meh. And I would roll the window up in case I got stopped at a red light and people were listening to me thinking, this guy is a duck. He's insane. I tell that story to let you know that the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are very individual. Now, eventually, I have a prayer language. But don't judge what God is doing through you by what you see around you. Right? He's got something unique for you. Of course, you know, being Jewish, my wife would be speaking in Arabic. Why not? You know, because that's part of our calling. To be pro-Israel It's not a political statement. It's a word of God statement. And it has nothing to do with being anti-Arab or anti-Muslim. We pray for, we work with, and we believe for our Muslim friends and for our Arab cousins all the time. In fact, God required that of us. From the very beginning of our ministry, travel. First thing, one of the first things we did was raise an offering for a church in Bethlehem, an Arab Christian church in Bethlehem, that needed a sound system to preach the gospel. And so they also needed a building. We raised a ton of money for the building. And then we raised money for the sound system, and we brought it to Israel. And the Israelis were looking at us in the airport saying, "What's this for?" I said, "It's for the Arabs." Why? Why are you bringing a sound system to the Arabs? Because they're going to use it to preach love instead of hate. Everybody understands the language of love. So Galatians 5 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things are going to increase in our life as we submit to the King this year. This is a 9-year, 9 gifts, 9 fruit. So it also is a picture, the letter Tet is a picture of the womb. How appropriate that we had a baby dedication today. Caleb and I did not plan that. He didn't know what I was preaching. But how appropriate. It's a picture of the womb. It has to do with God bringing something new through you. Here's something new, something you've been ruminating over, you've been wondering about, praying into, maybe not even sure it could actually happen. Just put it on the shelf, whatever. God has something new for you. I don't care if you're 16 or 76. It doesn't matter. God has something new He wants to bring to birth during this season. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be unknown territory, right? If everything we do in our walk with the Lord is what we've already done, and there's no adventure of not knowing, and no adventure of the fear of the unknown and the excitement about the unknown, then what are we doing? We might as well have a God we can explain. He's bigger than us. So He's going to bring some things to birth. He's forming something new. Some of you are pregnant. I told the last service, I said that in another congregation, and there was a couple there that I knew were newly pregnant. And so I said, and some of you, and I said, this is not a word of knowledge, but some of you are going to have a baby very soon. And they came up to me after and said, "We didn't announce it yet." It was like a lack of word of knowledge. It's a real word of ignorance. Now, last year, when we were at Chuck Pierce for 5778, we'll go there for the head of the year and minister. It was wonderful. This year, we had Dutch Sheets with us and some people from Israel, some great brothers from Chicago. I mean, incredible multi-level. Oh, yeah, by the way, I've been doing this counseling through a pastor's coach ministry, Michael. And these pastors are finding me. I did a week on Zoom with them, you know, online. About mental health and pastoring, which sounds oxymoronic, but it is possible to be relatively mentally healthy and be in the ministry. And so they asked me to do it as a professional therapist and somebody who's also a pastor, rabbi, cowboy, counselor, wrestler. They wanted me to do this. So I did it. In the first week, there were 29 people, and the word got out. This is an international crew. And the next time, there were 50 people, because pastors are hungry to know how to be well and healthy while in the ministry and to not burn out from over-serving. So I'm grateful that you're doing this parenting seminar that's coming up, because that is part of the functionality, is to know how to parent or have support in parenting. And for pastors, they need all the help we can get, right? So I did this with them, and now they're calling me, and we're consulting. And the thing that's amazing to me is that this one church in Baltimore connected with me, and this man is young couple, and they're fiery young couple. It's a church plant, and they are on fire, but he's disappointed and hurt because it's only 100 people so far. And I said, "Well, tell me about your church." He tells me a little bit about it. Turns out, it's completely diverse, made up of every tongue and tribe, every color, every flavor, every language. I said, "Brother, 100 people like that is 10,000 times 10,000 in the current atmosphere of this world. This, what happened to me this morning in worship, I walked around and look at you all. I see every color, every tongue, every tribe. It's a picture of heaven. Bless you guys for that. God smiles on the nations around the throne. All of us together. So the ninth book is 1 Samuel. Last year, Catherine got up and said, well, the eighth book is the book of Ruth. So we had a message from the book of Ruth. And then my son gets married this year. And this, as Caleb said, Boaz and Ruth wedding on Shavuot, which is when the book of Ruth is read by all the Jews on Pentecost. And just this wedding went around the world. If you get in touch with me, I'll put you to my link. I'm a little bit proud of this in a good way. But we heard from all over the world. This was on Daystar Television. Heard from all over the world. I was speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've been a Christian for 9 years, and I was watching the wedding and weeping because of the love of the Lord and the love that these two have for each other. And when I heard Rabbi Jonathan Kahn pray the Hebrew blessing, I found myself speaking in a language that I did not know. One lady just sent a picture of her remote and a box of empty Kleenex. People wrote in from all over the world, I have faith for my kids to come back to God. I have faith for my kids to find the right spouse. I have faith for my kids to serve the Lord and to be part of this wedding supper that we just saw in this wedding. Amen. So the ninth book, 5779, is 1 Samuel. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim. Everybody say that. We're kidding. Of the hill country. Oh, you game, huh? Ramathaim Zophim. Ah, that was it, right? Okay. Of the hill country of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah. He had two wives, which was kosher in the day. I don't recommend it. The name of the one was Hannah, and Hannah was barren. So the ninth book of the Bible is telling us about the barrenness of the mother praying for a prophetic sign, and she gets a prophet. If you're praying for prophetic unction in your life, God wants to give it to you this year. This is the year of the 9 months, the bringing to the birth. This is that season. Now that name in Hebrew that we just butchered together, that the root word for that name is Rimmon. Say Rimmon. That's easy. Rimmon is a pomegranate. One of the key fruits of the season in the fall in Israel, and one of the spiritual pictures that we have, is the pomegranate. Now, the mythology around the pomegranate, by the way, we're going to Israel on Sunday. We have 50 people with us. Caleb's going in February. If you haven't signed up to go to Israel, you need to go to Israel. Yeah. However you get there, you need to go, because it is life-changing. Yeah. It takes the word from black and white to technicolor. Takes the word and makes it alive in a way that you've never seen before. You can possibly go. We have a full tour this time. We go again in March. But this season now, the pomegranate juice will be in season. It's delicious. If it's in season. If it's not, not so much. So the mythology around the pomegranate is that because there are 613 instructions in the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the beginning of the word, the Torah, because there are 613 instructions in there, that every pomegranate throughout history has had 613 seeds, because God loves something. That's not true. The next myth was that if you take the average of all the seeds in all the pomegranates and you average them together, you'll find 613 is the average number. Also not true. But what you can see by looking at this is that God wants us to be bursting with the fruit of the Spirit and with the gifts of the Spirit. It's a picture of plenty. It's a picture of reproduction. It's a picture of multi-seededness. That God wants to deploy you and use you to touch the world around you. It may be like Milton in the jails here, in the youth center. It may be like Robin and Kevin in Africa. It may be downstairs in the children's ministry. It doesn't matter. He wants to release fruitfulness in a new measure this year. So, speaking of it, yeah, let's clap to the Lord. He deserves it. I get it. You're awesome, Lord. We believe you. We believe you. Make us rimonim, pomegranates. So new wineskins are also part of this. One of the new fruitfulnesses that we're looking for is that we are publishing a book called When Heaven Hits Home. It's coming out after the first of the year. My son Jonathan wants me to release it on Purim because it's a Mordechai statement about, you know, the book of Esther ends with the word about Mordechai that he sat next to the king and sought the peace of his people all the days of his life. That's kind of what I want to do in my life when I grow up. That's what I've been doing, trying to do. So God gave me this wife who would go on this journey with me. But this is ancient wisdom for today's couples, but it's much more than that. It has within it the journey around the world. It has how to reconcile with your friends and family. It's got all kinds of helps in it that are not only about marriage. And that's coming out. And we actually can go to whenheavenhitshome.net and download a free chapter if you want to see it in advance. It's great. It's been endorsed by Dan Juster and Wayne Hilsden and Benny Johnson and Chuck Pierce and Jonathan Burness and Jim and Rosemary Schindler Garlow, a bunch of friends that we love, that love us, and they read the book and said, wow, this is great. Karen Davis from Mount Carmel. You know, this is really going to help marriages and help families, help people. So we're excited about it. So the Tet year, the 9 year, it's also a picture of a wineskin. And this is the year for the new wineskin. I don't know what that means for you. But for some of you, it's going to be a shift in your ministry duties. For some of you, it's going to be a geographical change. For some of you, it's going to be some new family member coming and shifting the wineskin in a dramatic way, connected to both the birth and the wineskin. And you'll need that parenting class, by the way, so you're in good shape. You know, it's about this. How are we going to pour out the greatest wine? God saves the best wine for last. How do we pour out? What can contain? What are the containers we need to have to pour out the best wine? So it's a year of new wineskin. So thinking about skipping the video, right? Okay. So I'm going to end. I think this is when you end, correct? Okay. So you have to go to my website to see the video I'm not showing you, but I'll tell you what it is. Really? It's about 6 minutes, 5, 4, 5, 6. So here's how God's been deploying us. Obviously, we're praying for the Jews to get saved. We're praying for the Arabs and the Muslims to get saved. We're reaching and touching those communities on a regular basis. But one thing that he's done is he's given us favor with a group called the Voice of Hope, which preaches the gospel by radio from the Galilee into Jordan, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Egypt. And at night, it goes into southern Russia and Turkey. That means that little Jew boy got to tell his testimony in the Arab language, translated into the Arabic language, about how it doesn't matter what your background is. This is not about religion. Doesn't matter if you're a Muslim. Doesn't matter what background you come from, Catholic, Jew, whatever your religious background is not the point. The point is the living God wants a relationship with you. And so we've been preaching the gospel into the Muslim world from that side of the world, from the Israel side, and then also working with the Back to Jerusalem movement from China, coming at it from the other side. So Brother Eugene, who you met probably when Brother Yun was here, he and I have been doing a wall-to-wall podcast from the Great Wall of China to the Western Wall of Jerusalem. And we kind of analyze the news and pray things and talk about what God's doing there. But God's bringing the gospel from China through the Muslim world, and from Israel through the Muslim world. They are surrounded. They may think they have 1.7 billion people, but they're surrounded by the Word of God. And so we are believing God to increase that. So, new life, new warfare, new wineskin, new life. Abraham said to his young man, sit yourself down here with the donkey. As for me and the young man, we'll go over there, worship, and return to you. That's the first time we hear the word worship. It's the first time we see the word love. It has to do with this picture of the sacrifice of Jesus that was to come. Imagine Abraham and Isaac walking. Isaac was not a young child. He was a young man. Not unlike Yeshua, not like Jesus. Walking up the same mountain, carrying the wood on his back. Going up to Mount Moriah, Mount Moriah. Imagine that because of family lineage, he probably even looked a little bit like Jesus would look in his face. The promised son. And they're walking up there. God stops Abraham because he was never going to sacrifice Isaac. It was a picture for us of the one that would come. And the one that would come that would be the Lamb of God. And would go up the same mountain with the wood on his back and give his life for you and for me. That's the new life. If you're here and you have not given your life to Yeshua, today's your day. Jesus, today's your day. What about new warfare? Very simple. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That's why I have you look at your spouse or your friend and say, you are not my enemy, because the devil is a liar. And he will tell you that this is your enemy and it is not your enemy. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Remember? Tet. Remember that? The nine. Submit to the King of Kings. Submit to him and the devil can't touch you. He can't get in you, on you, around you, in the way that you allow if you open the door to him. And the way we submit to God is through the word, through worship, through fellowship, through community, and you're doing it. Hallelujah. And finally, new wineskins. This book of the Torah, this book of the Bible, should not depart from your mouth. You should meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful. The word of God is the assurance that we have that this story of Israel, this restoration, this regathering, this bringing us out of the dispersion, this incredible survival that only God could have done in the midst of the Crusades, the Inquisition, the pogroms in Europe, and the Holocaust, he brought this little group back. It is the greatest evangelistic message in the history of the world, because if God can do that for my little family, he can do anything he wants with the nations. And so salvation is coming to the nations. And Israel is a sign. It's a sign and a wonder. Zion, Zion, actually means sign. It's a sign and a wonder. That's why we say pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the Messianic believers. Pray, help us do what we're doing to reach the Jewish people, to reach our Arab cousins, to see this gospel enlivened in the Middle East. Because you know what's coming? The day is coming that Yeshua predicted. He said two things about the end times in the spine of biblical prophecy, Matthew 23 and 24. He said in Matthew 24, this gospel will be preached around the world and then the end will come. This gospel is going around the world. One of the amazing parts of working with the Chinese church is that they're Chinese. They're inventive. They are incredibly skilled. They have built, and is now in prototype, a button-sized Bible that's a hologram that doesn't need solar power, doesn't need a battery. It works on movement. And when you shake it, the Bible pops out into the air and you can read the Bible in the air and turn the pages like this. Now, it's scheduled for release shortly, but it's a way of dealing with the persecution in China against the Christians. Because if you've got just a button in your pocket or a coin, hey, it's nothing. This gospel is going around the world in ways that we couldn't have imagined when the printing press was built. Amen. And the other thing he said was to my people, he said to the religious leaders, he said, Matthew 23:39, you'll not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you, as you lean into love of the one new man, of this Jew and Gentile together, we're hastening the coming of the Lord, because you're touching the hearts of people. You're touching the hearts of those that need to cry out for him, and it's connected to world revival. So thank you. Why don't you just stand? I want to pray a blessing over you. Write to me at mkhop.org. The cards are back there. Just get in touch with us. I'll show you this video. This video is part of a series of 9 videos that the Chinese church is producing. It's going around the world, and it starts in Jerusalem and ends in Jerusalem. So yours truly is a part of that because of our connection there. But the point is that the Chinese recognize there's something significant and key about Israel and Jerusalem that's connected to their push for revival. Amen? So just close your eyes and receive this from the Lord. This goes back to the Numbers chapter 6. God told Moses, have Aaron stand before the people and pray this prayer. And every time it is prayed, for generation to generation, I will put my name on them and send them out with a blessing. So just receive this from him. Yivarech Adonai v'yismarecha. Yaya Adonai panavalecha v'chonecha. Yisaha Adonai panavalecha. V'yisem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his shalom. The Lord whisper a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And this is the faith that overcomes the world. May this season, may this new year be a blessing of new life, new wineskins, and you'll be equipped for any warfare that comes your way by the name, by the blood, and by the cross of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.